I find that as I get older, I have to talk about things when they come to me. And one thing, I'm grateful to the brotherhood and where the men's ministry and music has gone. But I want our choir to sing every week. We don't take off days. If it's Youth Sunday, I want us to sing. If it's men singing, we want to sing. But we're not going to sing all the songs. Will somebody say amen? United is what we want to be. And so as God allows us to grow, let's just remember there's a place for you. And we are grateful. But I want you to look in your Bible, if you will, this morning. I was thinking about the church members who were on the road. I know Sister Edith was saying she and a cousin were going to drive to Green Bay. That's a 20-hour drive. Some of y'all have done things like that, and then we grow up. But they're going, and then Sister Alicia, I think they're staying another week because they have a football game next week. That's a good thing, amen? That's a blessing from God, and we're grateful for that. But the church got to go on. Amen. I want you to look with me. Your Bible. Can you come up a little on blue mic for me, please? In the book of Joshua, thank you. In the book of Joshua, go to the 18th chapter. We're going to read from verse 1 through verse 10. Book of Joshua.
Chapter 18.
Starting at verse 1.
Trade, okay.
So, again, in the book of Joshua, chapter 18, I'm going to start reading at verse 1. Take a little time and make sure you find it and not just hear somebody else read it. Amen. There are some new Bibles throughout the church in case you might not have brought one this morning. Some new blue Bibles that will help you. Anybody need more time to find that scripture? Will you say wait? Amen. Book of Joshua, chapter 18. Not Judges, book of Joshua. Okay, I got you. So look back, right? Oh, you got it, okay. Amen. So anybody else need a little more time? All right, let's read starting at verse 1. This is New American Standard. Scripture reads like this. Then the whole congregation of the sons of Israel assembled themselves at Shiloh and set up the tent of meeting there, and the land was subdued before them. And there remained among the sons of Israel 7 tribes, who had not divided their inheritance. Joshua said to the sons of Israel, "How long will you put off entering to take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you? Provide for yourselves 3 men from each tribe, that I may send them, and that they may arise and walk through the land and write a description of it according to their inheritance. Then they shall return to me, and they shall divide it into 7 portions. Judah shall stay in its territory on the south, and the house of Joseph shall stay in their territory on the north. And you shall describe the land in 7 divisions, and bring the description here to me, and I will cast lots for you here before the Lord our God. For the Levites have no portion among you, because the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance. Gad and Reuben and the half tribe of Manasseh also have received their inheritance eastward, beyond the Jordan, which Moses, the servant of the Lord gave them. Verse 8 says, then the men arose and went, and Joshua commanded those who went to describe the land, saying, go, walk through the land, describe it, return to me, then I will cast lots for you here before the Lord in Shiloh. So the men went, passed through the land, described it by cities in seven divisions in a book, and they came to Joshua and camped at Shiloh. And so verse 10 says, Joshua cast lots for them, Shiloh before the Lord, and there Joshua divided the land to the sons of Israel according to their divisions. So from all these scriptures going to speak from this subject this morning, the process of dividing the land. Amen. Thank you for standing, church. The process of dividing the land. You know, sometimes even in today's society, people think church just runs by itself. But it doesn't. It requires workers. What did it say? Boots on the ground. That's the way, yeah, I heard that somewhere. But that's the way God is. God knows how to guide us if we're willing to be led. Now, who is Joshua? Some of you know the story. You know that Moses is the one who God sent to go get the people freed from Egypt. But there came a time when Moses couldn't go. He couldn't go into the promised land. And so Joshua was his successor. Joshua was who God had laid to be in charge when Moses' time was gone. And now his time has come. Thank you, Reverend. Now Joshua's time has come for him to lead. And what Joshua has found out that there's a process that needs to be followed in dividing the land. What land, preacher? The land that God gave them, the land of milk and honey. See, God had a plan for how to do it. God's plan always works better than our plan. Will somebody say amen? This is why we strive so hard as a church to encourage people, come to teaching ministry. Come to Sunday school. Get started in a Bible study so that you can be closer to God. Because God, he won't move us if we don't want to be moved. Amen. Sometimes people think, well, it's my choice. I'm volunteering. When we commit to serving God, we're not volunteering. We're saying, Lord, I love you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do what you ask us to do. But how can we know what God wants from us if we will not study the Word of God? So the three things we're going to look at here this morning regarding the process of dividing the land. First, gather everybody concerned. Gather everybody. Don't try to do it yourself. Gather everybody concerned with dividing the land. Secondly, explain the guidelines. Will somebody say amen? Amen. We need to know why God asked us to do what he asked us to do. We got to explain the guidelines. And then we got to actually execute the job. Not going to happen by itself. I know sometimes it may sound like preachers are angry or upset or fussing. But it's not that. It's that we all have to take seriously the Word of God. That's the way a church flourishes. That's the way a church grows. And when something is needed, when a change is needed, it's got to be pointed out. The church does not run by itself. Amen? So I hope we'll have some committed believers as we continue to go forward with God, with the church. So this land that they're talking about, you know that when God freed the children of Israel from Egypt, he had a plan for them to go to the land of milk and honey. A land when they'd no longer be under the thumb of the Egyptians, of Herod, the ones who were in charge down there. But once they left Egypt, they had to come to agreement for how to go to and possess the promised land. It wasn't going to happen just because they were tired of being in Egypt. They had leadership. Joshua was a great leader, taking over for Moses. See, God doesn't use just one person. God can use whomever he wants to use. And we have to recognize that. But sometimes people just don't want to follow. Not enough bread, not enough meat, too much water. Always going to be something that we as people can complain about. Will somebody say amen? Somebody found out this week that they were going to be late coming to church because of XYZ. Things pop up. Not always in our control. But we do have some control. I know today that there's church service next week. I know today that if God so will it, I'll be able to come to church service, and that service starts at 11 o'clock. I'm not coming at 11:30. Will somebody say amen? It's just little things like that that we've all got to put in our life to make our service to God more meaningful, first to God and then to ourselves. We are valuable to God. Does anybody believe that? We're valuable to God. It's so strange to me, always has been. The God we serve, the God we love, has all power in his hand. And he chooses to work with us. I mean, just think about that. We are not the perfect people. I can raise my hand. We most of us not the perfect people. The ones of us who think we're the perfect people need to go back and look, because God would have a different opinion regarding that. That's why he took our place on Calvary, so that the perfect one who had no sin could stand there and accept whatever the judgment was going to be, because we made that commitment to love Jesus Christ. And so let's talk about how this scripture is put together for us. Look, it says that we've got to gather everybody concerned. Do you realize that in our churches, there are really no big Christians or little Christians? Will somebody say amen? There are some people who feel like that they're running everything, but the truth is we don't run anything. There are no little Christians or big Christians. Only Christians are those who are not Christians. We've got to evaluate ourselves. Are we where God wants us to be? The children of Israel found out they were not yet where God wanted them to be. God wanted them to be in the Holy Land, in the land of milk and honey. But because of their slothfulness, it took a lot longer to get it done than the original plan was. And it's like that for us today. We cannot assume that Joe's going to be at church taking care of everybody's responsibility, that Mary's going to be the one that's leading the song, the singing of Zion songs, and so I don't need to be there. We don't want to find ourselves going in the wrong direction. God's plan is inclusion. God's plan is that everybody come alongside, serve with one another. How can I serve God? I don't know your name. How can I serve God? I don't study the songs. I don't come to Sunday school to study the scripture. I don't find a Bible study to hook up with so that I can draw closer and closer to God. Serving God is not a plaything. Will you say amen? Amen? And those of us, as we realize that serving God is not a plaything, what can we do to be better, to be stronger, to be spiritually more connected? See, my nephew has come in. That means his mother's with him, because he doesn't drive. I tell you a story. Brother Andrew must be 50 or 51 years old. He can't hear since he's 2 years old, 3 years old. But he's faithful to his family, to his mother. They remember to take care of him. Some things you have to accept some behavior. It's just the way it is when you can't hear like that. He knows sign language. But I'm grateful that that part of the family has not forgotten him. We can do better. All of us, we can do better in being connected to our family, not feeling like life is all about us. It's not. And as we learn to love one another and grow closer together, God will bring us together where we are. This church does not stand here today because somebody gave up on it. This church stands here today because some people were faithful and loyal and felt like the church meant something. And do you know that same thing is true today? If I've been here 3 weeks, this church means something. And God loves me for accepting his church. He is a holy God. And I think that's always the thing. I say this all the time. I believe that's the reason God drew us here, because we could see what was here that had been here long before we came. We'll be here long after we're gone, if God say the same. And my sister-in-law, Teresa, just came in. And I mentioned that because I realize everybody doesn't know who everybody else is. We're going to funeralize Sister Diana this Saturday here at the church, and viewing 9 o'clock, the typical times. But we're grateful to have gotten to this point, because years and years ago, they were faithful members with us at a church that I was blessed to be the founder of, Graceway Baptist Church. And so when someone comes today and say, I have a need, I'm not going to say no. I'm grateful to be available. Will somebody say amen?
Amen.
You have to be grateful for what God is doing for you now. Somebody's probably saying, even as we look at this scripture and look at what the children of Israel are going through, somebody's probably saying, I need more from God. I want more than God has given me. I want to try plan B. Because the people where they teach plan B say, if you just give enough money, God will continue to multiply. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you just show up week after week after week, then God's going to be pleased with you. It's more than that. If I never step my foot into a church house, if I really love the Lord, do you know God will take care of me? Does anybody believe it? If I'm never able to give more than $10 in church, and it's truly all I have to tithe, do you know God will be pleased with that? And so we got to just make sure we are growing with one another. And here when we talk about the process of dividing the land, let's go back to this for a minute. He's got to gather everybody concerned. And so he brought all the tribes, even the ones that already had land. It's already been mapped out. Everybody needed to know what everybody else was doing. We don't have secrets in church. We don't have secret societies in church, because God is open. God say, whosoever will, let him come. Do you believe what he says? Do you believe God is able to handle when everybody comes? God is able to handle it. Do you realize there was more than 1 million people in the wilderness? God didn't let them give up. He divided them. He brought leaders forward to help the one, Joshua, who was in charge. You can't do it by yourself. But you got to do it with love. And then you got to explain the guidelines. There are some people who yet today do not know really what church is all about. What do you mean, preacher? You might not believe that there are some people in churches today attending on a regular basis who have never been baptized in the water. Because somebody told him, as long as you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you don't need to be baptized. So why do we get baptized? As a sign that we are believers in Jesus Christ. Explain the guidelines. And so what Joshua was doing by calling all the people together, he explained the process that's going to be used to divide the remainder of the land. Why did he say the Levites were not going to be given land? Why? Because the church was supposed to take care of them. Would somebody say amen? Amen. That's why the scripture would say, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there might be meat in my house. So there might be the ability to take care of what was needed for the other people. And anybody that doesn't understand that, doesn't realize God can use everybody in different capacities because there's only one church. But that one church needs people. That one church needs workers. That's why I tell people all the time, it's good to have a TV and be able to watch services when you can't come. But when you've got the choice of coming physically to the church house or watching on TV, let me tell you what works out better. Amen. Because I don't want to be a lazy Christian. Would somebody say amen? Now somebody go run out and say, Pastor, call us lazy. No, I say, I don't want to be a lazy Christian. Now, you don't either, but I'm the one can say it about me. You're the only one can know what your circumstance is. But if we're not going to be lazy Christians, we need to give ourselves to the Lord. Sing. If you got a gift to sing, sing. You got a gift to encourage, encourage. You got a gift to cook, cook for the Lord. All those things do matter. Now, if I just show up when they got free food, I know I got a problem. It's not with the food. I'm going to eat wherever I am. But if I'm thinking that church only provides for me when there's free food, I need to grow up. I need to mature. I need to show up at 9:45 on Sunday morning. See, this is a general meeting of the Christians, of the children of Israel. You're part of the general body of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is body of the church all over the world. It's not just Houston. It's not just Pilgrim Branch. If a church is open in the name of Jesus Christ, that's a good church. And we want to build it. We want to support it. We want to be part of that fellowship. And so I say this all the time because I know from studying the Bible, it's easy to forget where we are sometimes. You know, especially things start going good. I don't know if I really need that church thing. And then we turn around and things start going bad. I'm going to find plan B. It's not giving me all I want to get out of church. You only get out of church what you put in. Will somebody say amen? You can love Zion songs, but better if you're part of the choir. You can love to stand as an usher, but better if you're there physically on the doors. That's where they need to help. You can only be a deacon after you grow up and mature in the church and be sanctified so that the church asks you to come and stand and be one of the leaders in the church. It's not going to happen by itself. So you explain the guidelines. And then thirdly, we got to be able to execute the job. Once we know all about what needs to be done, how does the work get done? Volunteers. People who come forward. Say, here I am, send me. How do we become volunteers that are capable? Sunday school. Bible studies. We find that way to grow closer to God. And a lot of you, you've been here a long time. And some of our most faithful members are ones who cannot physically come to the church anymore. Because once you get into your 80s and 90s, you don't run and jump the way you did one time. But God is able to do anything but fail. What is he saying, preacher? I'm saying God is worth celebrating. Amen. He's worth lifting up. He is worth calling on his holy and precious name because he is God. Because one day, church, we're going to come to a close down here. I've been thinking about all the funeral services that's been held around the church here the last few years. And I concluded that though it may seem like a lot to us, do you recognize that every day, approximately the same number of people die in the world? God doesn't look at it and say, it's your time, my time. When it's our time, we got to go. But he doesn't have any measuring stick. He's not punishing Pilgrim Branch or your family or my family, because God is holy. God is holy. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, when he gathered these people together, he wanted them to know they still needed to follow the policy that God had put in place. Joshua was just one part of it, but Joshua was not making the rules. He was explaining how the rules needed to be used in order to be fair. And I close with this thought. I think one thing that all churches need to strive for is fairness in the church. You cannot do for one what you will not do for another. Will somebody say amen? Your tithe, my tithe, it has to be used in a fair way so that everybody understands you are important to God. You're just as important as the preacher, deacon, missionary, usher, singer. You just have a different gift. And everybody's gift doesn't have to be the same in order to serve God. Amen? Now listen, I'm sure you. Everybody that believes you have a gift from God, I want you to wave your hand. You believe you have a gift from God. Amen. Okay. And just look around. See the hands? Gift from God. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you feel you're using the gift God has given you? Wave your hand. Okay. Some hands still. Not as many, but some hands. Now, just because if we say you got a gift from God and ask if you, somebody doesn't want to say, no, I'm not using it. Amen. And when we know we're not using it, help me understand, what can I do? I got a gift from God. I'm not using it. What can I do to be on that side where I got a gift and I'm putting it to use for God? How can I make that change? How can I make that change? I got to put one foot in front of the other. One foot in front of the other. Nobody can beg you to serve God. Nobody can confirm for you that you're serving God. You're the only one who knows whether you're using what God gave you. I'm the only one who knows, because I'm the only one who knows what's in my heart other than God. God knows. But he'll give us that opportunity to willingly come forward for ourselves. There's a reason that you're here today. God loves you. Might have some challenges in your life, but God loves you. Does anybody believe it? Come on, clap your hands if you believe it. Clap your hands if you believe God loves you. God's not going to forsake you. He's not going to forsake me. And he's trying to get us to understand this has got to be you serving God, because God loves you and you know it. And so I'm thankful for this day, the process of dividing the land. To just think about the end of the story, they got the land divided. They got it divided according to the pattern that God had set up. So it was all done right. But it took time. It took workers. It took understanding that process that God was using. And for us, it's the same thing. God has allowed there to be a church here for a long time for a reason. And only he knows what the end will be. But right now, we know he's given us today. We're here at the church house today. We can have a smile on our face today. We can praise God today. Because God is worth giving the praise to. Amen. He is worthy. He's worthy to be praised. So we thank God for what he's already done, for what he's going to do. I don't know. I always remember to tell people, I don't know how God works. I can look at it and tell you what results he gets, but I can't tell you how he gets his power, how he uses it. I can tell you he does have power. I can tell you he's able. And so we ought to celebrate him. We ought to celebrate God. How often should we celebrate God, preacher? Every day. We ought to celebrate the Holy God. We ought to pray to him every day. We ought to lift up holy hands every day. Don't be ashamed to lift up holy hands and turn your cares over to God. And God can make a way for you and for me. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Just today, give him a hand clap of praise. Worthy to be praised. And so as we close this morning, we're thankful for the ones who keep Pilgrim Branch going, guided by God, because it's a great thing to have servants and people around you who love the Lord like you love the Lord. And so we're thankful this. We're going to stop and open the doors of the church. What is this opening the doors of the church? It means present an opportunity to the congregation to come up and declare that you want to be a part of the building process for the kingdom of God. There might be somebody this morning. You might physically be here at the church. You might be ready to make a renewal in your life for serving God. Is there one? And will you come? Will you come?
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huff Smith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."